In 2011-2012, the Corrections Corporation of America recorded total revenue of $1.7 billion. The corporation runs 66 private prisons in the United States. The ProPublica website also reported the corporation had spent almost $18 million lobbying politicians. So there's big money to be made out of prisons in a country where the inmate population is about 2 million. Private prisons also operate in Australia. Serco operates jails and detention centres, and they're controversial. The advocates of private prisons say they're more efficient, although a report by the Productivity Commission in 2012 raised some doubts about that. But aside from the economics, what about the ethics? A recent edition of Sojourners magazine reported on a major campaign by America's mainline churches against private prisons. The United Methodists and the Presbyterians and some Catholic bishops from the South have questioned the morality of prisons for profit, especially when some private operators lobby against efforts to decriminalise minor drug offences. One of the groups leading this campaign is called Strength to Love. It takes its name from a famous sermon by Martin Luther King. The spokeswoman for Strength to Love is the Reverend Rebecca Stell of the Becoming Church in Washington, D.C.
The for-profit prison industry is riddled with ethical problems. Jesus is very explicit in saying that we can't serve two masters. We can't serve God and money. The privatized prison industry is concerned with making money. The consequence of that is that people are being used as fodder for an industry rather than being recognized as brothers and sisters.
So in practice, this means what? That private prisons actually, at least in America, spend less on things like education and rehabilitation?
Sure. The privatized prison industry is compensated according to how many beds are filled. And the incentive then is to keep those beds filled so people aren't given the necessary tools to succeed. Rather, things are set up almost for them to fail.
Yes, so it sounds like it's in the interests of private prison operators to have a lot of recidivism because they'll always have a constant, in inverted commas, clientele, people coming back.
That's right. We are concerned, too, about what is increasingly known as the new Jim Crow. In the United States, of course, slavery was legal and it was a system by which white people exploited people of color, in particular African American people, for hundreds of years. When that system was broken, we switched over to what had been known as the Jim Crow laws. And the Jim Crow laws kept in place that same system of exploitation that slavery had delivered. With the civil rights movement, the Jim Crow laws came to an end, and it no longer is acceptable for us to exploit on the basis of skin color, but instead we exploit on the basis of who has been incarcerated. And so we lock up especially black and brown people by the millions.
Well, yes, there was a very interesting piece not so long ago in the New Yorker magazine which likened a number of private prisons, particularly in the south of the United States, to old plantations. I mean, what resemblance do they bear?
Well, this is an opportunity for people to make money off of slave labor. And so, yes, there's a very direct relationship between what happens inside the jails and the plantation economy.
Can you describe for me what those conditions appear to be, at least to the outsider?
I'm most familiar with the conditions of people when they come home. But when people come home, laws are in place to deny people access to jobs, to deny people access to housing, to the vote, on the basis of having been incarcerated. So people come home with nothing, even being released sometimes in the orange jumpsuits that they've worn, or released in the middle of the night in parts of the city where they can't find transportation. So the cards are against them before they even get out the door. Another piece that is so fundamental is people don't have the community of love and support, don't have an unconditional place to come and be accepted and be welcomed into community, and it's hard to come by.
Reverend Stell, one of the other complexities here with private prisons seems to be that it's in the interests of private prison operators for there not to be law reform, for there to continue to be very punitive laws in place, because, you know, it keeps up this drip feed of business for them.
The privatized prison industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, and you can buy shares of stock. It's publicly traded. So we bought shares of stock and assigned ownership of those shares of stock to ex-offenders who are part of our church community. And together we have been going for the past several years to the annual shareholders meeting of Corrections Corporation of America, which is the biggest prison business in the United States. And we have been interested in developing positive and friendly relationship with them, even as we are also very clear with them that their interest is different from our interest. So it grieves me to say that among the group of executives and leaders of the prison industry are people who have served in Congress and make the laws that support the work that in turn makes them a lot of money.
Well, yes, Rebecca, there's an interesting contradiction here because, as you say, your organization has deliberately bought shares in the private prison operators. Did you make any money from that stock? Because in a strange way, that would actually prove your point that you really don't want to be making a dollar out of this.
Right. We don't want to be making a dollar out of this. We want to be buying a seat at the table. So each share of stock cost us about $20 or $25 and has gone up a dollar or two in value. But each of us having one share of stock, what we've bought is a voice and a seat at the table. It could be compared to, during the times of abolition, those who bought slaves because they wanted to release the slaves into liberty and support them. So it's a way of using our financial resources to make a point and have an influence.
A number of major churches in the United States, including some of the Catholic bishops, the United Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, have called for a moratorium on new private prisons. Is anyone listening to this injunction or this cry? Because you're up against a very powerful lobby group.
You are right about that. While we applaud all those efforts, petitions and marches on the Capitol and protests and moratoriums, they have their place. But what we're looking at, as much as anything else, is the need for a spiritual revival, a spiritual renewal. The whole circumstance that we're under is a symptom of a spiritually sick nation and a spiritually sick world, that we're at the point where we treat brothers and sisters this way.
Well, Rebecca, as a Christian organization, you're obviously very focused on that core notion of redemption. The Bible calls on us to forgive not seven times, but seven times 70. But you also live in a country where there's a strong emphasis on retribution. You are dealing with people who are offenders. They've broken the law. They've violated what is said to be a community norm, some of them in very serious cases. Isn't it a sort of public relations battle to convince people about the importance of redemption and forgiveness?
It is. We're all at different places in our understanding of forgiveness and redemption. I feel, as someone myself who has been afforded all the privileges of living in a society that, for whatever reason, defers to white skin. I'm a white woman and have been afforded all the privileges of society. I'm in a different place, however, from my brothers and sisters who have been incarcerated. For me, if I make a mistake, if I cuss somebody out, if I violate a traffic law, I can go through life without having to pay close attention to what kind of spiritual shape I'm in. My brothers and sisters who are returning from jail and who are on parole or have one misstep and the rest of their life is at stake, they are in a position where they, by necessity, have to be able to let go of grudges, to let go of heartache and forgive.
The Reverend Rebecca Stell from Washington, D.C., speaking about the campaign by U.S. churches against the growth of the private prison industry in America. Now, we don't have time to broadcast this interview, but on our website, we'll put up a fascinating interview with a man called Scott Purcell. He works with the Reverend Stell. He served 23 sentences in the U.S. prison system, mainly for non-violent and low-level drug offences.